Blog Talk Radio.
As always, we hope that we bring you the best of health. We find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. And, of course, we hope that we bring you some of the best radio, especially Blog Talk Radio, that you can find out of any of our listeners. Each and every day, we all look to grow. Each and every day, we all look to develop and to become better people. And that's actually the reason that we're here. We're not here to sit on our butts and do nothing and complain and moan and groan. And that's also why we're doing today's show. Today's show, we're going to talk to a phenomenal human being. And when I say a phenomenal human being, I mean that with all my heart and soul. We are going to talk to Mr. Barry Parker. Barry Parker is a hard-charging individual and works with merchant services. He also does other things. Barry is he's a strong, hard-charging professional that has done many things in his time. You know, he's originally from the New York area, and now he's in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., or DMV area. Father of four? That's a lie. He's a father of two. But anyway, father of two, happily married man, and a really strong individual. And today, Barry's going to share his thoughts on can't and some of the things that we all need to think about. So please share the show with everybody. Listen in, and again, feel free to call in if you have any questions. So, with no further ado, Barry, how you doing?
I'm pretty good this morning. How about yourself, sir?
Oh, I'm never going to do as good as you, but, you know, we all got to strive for something, right?
This is what you say.
Anyway, going to share with us your views, your points, and some of your thoughts on the word can't, as it being a word that people use entirely too much, and people even taking it to where they're becoming self-destructive. So how would you like to go ahead and start this?
All right, thank you for having me on your show and allowing me to express my feelings on this word that I've been hearing quite a bit. It actually came to me with just listening to the interaction between my wife and my daughter and just hearing this word can't. I've heard it all my life, unfortunately, but I realized just how it probably started, you know, during my younger years, just listening to that interaction where my wife was just telling my daughter, I can't pick you up, I can't touch this, I can't, and you know, it just kind of resonated, and then I started listening to my mother, you know, telling my daughter the same thing, and it just kind of just popped in my head that, you know, why is can't being used so much? I started paying attention around work and just listening to friends and just how can't was used all the time. It was entirely used too much, and my brain is just thinking. I'm a thinker, and I'm analyzing, and I said, well, maybe this word that we're always constantly using is building that foundation that's been planted at such an early age is some of the reason why dreams haven't been fulfilled, things haven't been accomplished, because we've learned to can't do it. You know, just for example, just listening to my three-year-old daughter, you know, me trying to teach her how to put a shoe on, a tie shoe, and the frustration comes, and it's, I can't do it. Well, then we go back and forth, yes, you can. You know, we it's almost a contradiction. We want our children to be able to know that they can do whatever they want to do in life, but if they're constantly hearing, you can't. No, you can't do this, you can't touch the stove, you can't get on top of that, You can't pull that down. You can't drag that, which they're doing. I mean, the we say it, but they're doing it. So, in essence, they can do it. They are doing it. But we use can't in such a diverse role, so to speak. It's very easy to use can't, that it just becomes the normal answer to some of the things we don't want them to do. You know, so it's opposed to choosing another word. We just say, you can't do that. So I looked up the meaning of the word can, and it really is a contradiction to cannot, contrary to cannot. It's not doing, not able. And I said, well, that really doesn't apply to a lot of the situations that we use it in. And, you know, I heard myself saying, you know, talking to some friends, talking about talking about snakes, and I really don't care for snakes at all. And so, you know, I used it, not the least of bit, and I used it, can't, like, oh, I can't take it. Well, if I had to get through a field of snakes, I would. It would be very difficult. So, but I would get through it if I knew that there was something important on the other side, or I need to get out. So, no, that really is not true. I can't take it. I say that quite a bit. Oh, for something that's really passionate that I don't, that's just kind of like either is loosey goosey or real squirmy, but I can't take it. That's
okay.
You're saying
that people are using the word can't because it's just become automatic, and they're also now,
right,
and because of that word has become automatic, now we're also using that word out of context because we're so used to us hearing it as we're growing up, from being children going up. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly. We are conditioned to use it. We heard it so many times within a 5-minute period. I heard it must fit, you know, just in that little short period of time, 10 to 15 times I heard can't. I can't take it. I can't this. I can't that. I can't that. If you sit there and say can't 20 times in a row, just think about the impact that's having on your psyche. And
yes, sir.
You know, can't. If you just try that now, let's do 10 times of can't. Can't. Ooh, I feel pretty bad.
It puts you in a bit of a defeatist attitude to begin with. So you're saying that technically we're not only psyching ourselves out, we're also psyching out our own children with that particular word. And in some cases, our grandparents psyched us out, their grandparents psyched them out, et cetera, et cetera. So you're saying that we need to, one, use the word in its proper context, and two, only use the word sparingly.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That we really have to break out of the habit, because it's become a habit. It's become it's real comfortable at this point, where it's part of our vocabulary, and we don't take the time to slow down and just actually say what it is, you know. So it's easy. It's just boom. You can't do that. As opposed to, let me think about it. What's another word? Because now we have to think about another word that we've used that word in so many different colorful adverb, you know, in sentences, that is the default. I can't. That should not be the default, because that just is the baseline of whether we think it is or not. That is the baseline of our thoughts, because our thoughts are going to help us produce our actions. And this is in our head, this is in our psyche. Our vocabulary determines our direction. If you listen to what we're saying, I would like, or I would like is not I'm going to do. I'll think about it. It's not action. It's I can't. Is I can't do it. What about I can? So we need to change that language pattern. And can't is a word that there's a place for it, but it should not be replaced. It should not be placed at such a high level that it's in, which we use regularly.
Right. So it shouldn't be the norm. It shouldn't be the default word. It's just like
Correct. People
that constantly use profanity. You know, you get
Yes. So
used to trying to figure out a way to express it that some people don't realize that there's other ways to express their thoughts, their feelings, their desires, their wants, and their needs other than saying F this or, you know, mother blank that or anything like that. So we all need to basically guard our minds, I guess, is more of the term.
Yes. And that, the profanity is an excellent example. That's the default. You know, F you is a, you know, adjective, is an action word. It's, you know, it's expressive. But, that is the most expressive. At that point, when somebody says F you, they have met that limit of expressing their true, strong intent. But sometimes those cases are not necessary, where they might be feeling something, but that's the only word they have to get to that point. And it just becomes just the norm. That's the vocabulary becomes limited to using those profanity-laced words as opposed to the millions of other possible words that could be used to express a feeling. So,
I used to work with this gentleman, and he used to always say that a person has the propensity to do a certain thing, and it was just a word that kind of grabbed me. So I started using the word propensity, and I guess it's the same word can and things like that. But you also brought up another really interesting thought or interesting comment. The comment that you made where you were talking about how we've kind of become pre-programmed, and that pre-programming actually definitely does go into our adult life, especially when you look at areas like, people that are doing wrong things or people that, you know, they decide that they're going to be drug dealers because they can't make it out here any other way. And it's really interesting, you know. So could you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure. When I thought about this and I was listening to how Kent was being used so easily and so much in my thought and then her struggling with one little task and saying Kent, I was just thinking how even now you listen to the teenagers, you listen to those coming out of prison, you listen to, you know, the struggling people, I can't make it. And it's just kind of just the thought. And I was playing with it. It was just like, well, we pre-programmed. We've been saying can't. Over the course of you, count up the how many times you probably heard can't, and it just became a part of your psyche over the course of your life. It has to be in the hundreds of thousands. And just to have a word being used so much, planted, if you plant anything over, it's going to grow. Weeds will grow and take over. And the give up attitude of can't. It's just a saying. It just says you're not able to do it, which you are. And those now and those people people who have dreams, who have desires that want more, a little bit of struggle, and it's I can't do it, or I can't take it, or I can't. And you may not, and they don't even realize it. I know. You know, the people that I've had conversation with, they don't even realize how many times they're saying or what they're saying or how they're saying and the contents that they're saying. But my brain now has been so, you know, programmed or it picks up the radar can't that I hear it. And I hear it when it slips out of my mouth or I'm about to say something. Now I catch myself and try to choose another word, which requires some effort. To stop and think about, okay, what's the word with fitness that's not the fetus, that's not, is it appropriate? So, you know, we've been fed a diet of can't that we're now poisoned and we have not diabetes, but can'ties.
You know, it's kind of funny. So basically, can't has become a four-letter word.
Yes, it has. It really has.
know, it's interesting. About a month ago, I was talking with this young lady who had kind of asked me for some assistance. So, you know, I was counseling her, and we were walking out of the door of the place that we were actually in, that we met in, which was a, you know, nice public place. And we were leaving, and the young lady said, "Well, you know, Mr. Bennett, I'm just a girl. I can't do this, this, I, you know, I can't do this, this, and this." And I said to her, I was like, "Really?" I said, "So what you're telling me is that because you're a woman, you're capable of doing this, 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 and this." And she's like, "No, that's not what I'm saying." I said, "Well, then why did you say that to me?" "Because you just used the word because you saw something that you could get out of it. But when I took the same word and threw it back at you, or, you know, in contact, now you're telling me that, no, you can. So which is it? Can you or can't you? Because you just told me because you're a woman, you can't do a certain thing. Yet if I took that same mindset and flipped it back onto you, in the sense of your actual abilities to do other things, now you would get offended." I said, "So see, you have to watch what you say. You have to guard your mind. And remember that anytime something comes out of your mouth, it also goes back into your ears." And that's, again, part of what you're saying with that defeatist attitude and that negativity that spreads and grows. Does that sound about correct?
Oh, that's very correct. The fruit of the word can't is complacency, is lost dreams, it's depression, it's woe is me. You know, that right there, her statement of "I can't do that," the fruit, if you did not pursue and challenge her, then she was, well, okay, and then would have went about her status quo, which, you know, she, whatever situation was going on, would have stayed. And so that is the product of can't. You know, it just reduces lackluster, you know, sad, negative, when it's used and when we rely on it as a crutch. We just we don't elevate ourselves. We don't push ourselves. We don't attempt to do anything. You know, you were in the military, and there was no can't. You were just going through that wall. Take that hill. You know, that's not an option. There is an option. It will be done. You know, I told you to do it. It's just going to happen. And removing those limitations that can't puts on us. Our fruit is different, so we have to watch what kind of fruit we're eating when we feed and constantly feed on this can't.
So we have to get through. We have to get rid of our fast food diet of the word can't. You know, it's not nutritious. It's not beneficial to us as a whole. It's not helping us to grow. It's not doing a whole lot of different things. And that's another interesting way to look at the words like that, like the word can't. You know, like a food restaurant, something that it's taking more out of your body than it's putting in.
Correct. McDonald's now is putting calorie content on next to their products. How about we put
they were forced to.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But you know, let's put the lost dreams next to these certain words that we use, so we can see the effect that they have on our choice of using them. And so we eat. How many times we say certain words, it's like, oh, well, you've just limited yourself to this degree. You've just put yourself here.
So basically, so you're going to create a, what was it? They used to have a cuss jar. Some people used to have a curse jar in their house. Are you going to put a can't jar in your house, or is that a recommendation to our listeners?
I think that's an excellent recommendation of putting how many times we won't put some money in every time you can't.
I say we'll do a double. You have a can't jar and a curse jar. So if you curse, you put something in it. If you say can't, you put something in it.
I'm going to have the can jar over there in the corner.
I think somebody, that's about to be a serious college fund.
Exactly. Exactly. I think it is, too.
Wow. Yeah, it's really interesting when you think about, again, like you were saying, we're talking about can't, but just the overall words that we use and how we actually set ourselves up. I mean,
It's the big setup. It's the big setup. And, I mean, and you think about it, you know, our parents, their parents, it's a generation. I mean, it's cycles, you know, certain things, certain situations. We are products of our upbringing, of listening to certain things, and then we have our own DNA and our own mind frame to where we went certain other places where we could have been, you know, we made choices, but, you know, all that whole environment, just hearing what you're listening to, who you're meeting, you know, our directions could have or have been so different because of interactions that we made and then choices. And, of course, it all mixes in with who we are. And the alternative, I really think, you know, using the consequences, I think that's a good choice to, instead of saying can't to our children or this and that, allow them, give them the consequences, because telling my daughter don't touch that stove or you can't touch that stove, I'm lying to her because she can't touch it. But if she touches it, it's possible she could get burned. And right. I think that is being removed from, we're not teaching them consequences. And our society, I see consequences all the time. You can take that object, but the consequences is you could get caught and then you're going to get yourself in jail or whatever. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So consequences needs to be the choice. Like, you know, but give me the option. Tell me what the result is if I do this as opposed to I can't do it. I can't pick you up. I can, but I'm not going to be able to finish cooking dinner.
Right.
So.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
So, basically, words like can't and not are basically our enemies, and we need to find ways to win over these particular entities, these particular enemies. However, also need to remember, too, that how we perceive and how we share things with other people are also choice. And I think what you're saying is that we also, especially to our children and to others, because everybody basically requires an explanation to some extent, go ahead and teach them why we don't believe they should do a particular thing at this moment or why we are unable to assist them at this moment. That sound about right?
That sounds totally right. That's it. Let's make everything is a teaching moment, but just explain the situation. Just explain the consequences. Explain to them. It requires us to be a little less lazy, which is, you know, that could be a struggle, but it requires us to think a little bit more and choose our words a lot more, as opposed to just fall back and just give them one word. Where give them an explanation and give them a reason why, and I think it has more weight when you're explaining something to someone as opposed to just telling them what they are not able to do or what you don't want them to do. Or, you know, giving this can't. Well, why not? And that's a big thing when. As children, why? Even though that never ends, even though you explain it to them, they want to. Well, why? However, I believe if you give them consequences as they grow up, and I'm using it in the context of little kids because I'm thinking about the effects that this can't has on them as they grow. But also, there isn't a time where adults cannot grow. So the same context, whether you're using it at work, a job, supervision, or just talking to friends, I'm not going to do it. I can't make it today. Well, why can't you make it today? You said such and such. Well, if I don't take care of this work right now, then I'm not going to be able to get paid. And so that's why I can't make it. I'm not unable to make it. That's why I won't make it. Not I can't. I won't be able to make it. I'm not coming. That's more definitive when you think about it. But can is almost kind of like a wussy. It's almost like a cop-out. Because it really, when you think about it, I can't make it. No, you can, but you choosing not to. As opposed to telling somebody, I'm not coming.
Right.
That's
and
hard.
That, too, is, as you also said, with the military and with law enforcement, sometimes understanding you don't have time to tell a person why, but also
mm-hmm.
understanding that when you do have the time, when it is appropriate, you
mm-hmm.
not only will tell them why, you know, ahead of time, but you'll also, you know, give them the respect that they have due. Because sometimes, you know, when you tell your kids no, there is no discussion. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's no and it's no now. I'll explain it
mm-hmm.
to you later, or I'll explain it to you when I get home or when we get home. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's differences there, which I know that you're
of
addressing.
Course.
But, you know, we're basically right now talking about children and the interaction with our children, but also understanding that that same mentality has hurt a lot of people that are no longer children. You know, they are adults. And now they're taking that same mindset, that same psyche into their adult lives. And, you know, like I explain to my kids all the time, you know, outside of these doors, which are my house, the world doesn't
mm-hmm.
give a crap about what you think,
mm-hmm.
what you want, or how you want it. If you don't earn it, deserve it, or do the things necessary, then you're not going to get it. And don't think, too, that because somebody else has it, you should have it. What did they do? You know, that somebody
mm-hmm.
told me, I was talking to this one gentleman, very, very well off, and he was telling me, yes, I'm a 20-year success story. He said, it took me 20 years to get to this point where I can experience success that I experience now. He said, and there's a whole lot of things that I wanted to do, but I chose not to do those things because
mm-hmm.
those things were not going to give me the outcome that I wanted. He said, and in truth, it panned out. He said, there was some struggle, there was some error, there was some failure there. He said, but overall, you're talking to me now because of the fact of all of the things that I chose to do, all of the things
mm-hmm.
that I also chose not to do that would have set me off from my path. Anyway, we're about about 4 or 5 minutes from, actually about 2 minutes from being done with the show. Could you tell us what other points you'd like to share? And also give us your information so that if anybody wants to contact the great and all-knowing Barry Parker, and they can. Now, the information is also on the website. But anyway, go ahead and share that information with us, please.
Sure. Just going forward, just let's be mindful and choose our words carefully as opposed to just blurting them out, because they will have effect on our life and the people around us. My information, well, everyone can link me. Link. That sounds a little strange, but I'm Barry Parker on LinkedIn. My email is my email address is Barry BP B Parker 833@gmail.com. That's the easy one. You can tweet at me and Barry L. Parker. Any comments, any statements you would like to make, I definitely appreciate Zurian for giving me this opportunity, or Sensei as I like to call him, to just express my thoughts.
Not a problem. You're very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, just to clarify, the information that Barry was talking about, we'll also add that to the site. So if anybody listens to the show now or later and you'd like to get in contact with Barry, all that information will be at the bottom of the actual blog talk show that we're doing today. Again, I want to thank Barry and his lovely wife and family for allowing us to have some of his time, you know, Sanji. And I consider Barry to be a friend, and I don't have many. I know a lot of people, but I don't consider too many people a friend. And, again, get in touch with him.
Yes,
learn
sir.
About what he does. Learn about his business. Learn about the things that he interacts with, and take what he said to heart. Think of how you're not using the words that you need to use correctly and how it's affecting your life and the lives of those around you. With no further ado, I want to again thank Mr. Barry Parker, for coming on the show, and again, his lovely wife, Sanji, for allowing him to, and his children for not, you know, climbing all over him and saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to The Zurian Show, and as always, we hope we bring you the best of blog talk, radio, and information that you can use and share. Please share the shows with anybody and everybody that you want. The link is there. Thank you very much. And everybody have a blessed and wonderful day.
Yes.
Take care, Barry.
All right, take care.